History Daily is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. So visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. It's spring 146 BCE in the city of Carthage on the north coast of Africa. 39-year-old Roman general Scipio Aemilianus leads two dozen of his finest soldiers down a narrow passageway. After a long siege, he's finally broken through the Carthaginian defenses, and now his men are fighting street by street toward the temple in the heart of the city. There's a smash of breaking pottery, and a soldier in front of Scipio collapses to the ground. Scipio looks up. From the rooftops of the building on either side, Carthaginian citizens are hurling pots and pans, even furniture, at the invaders. Scipio raises his shield above his head. As bowls and plates shatter on the ground around him, Scipio orders his soldiers to deal with this new threat. Breaking off, a small group of them smashes through a door and heads for the roof. The battle for the control of the city has lasted 6 days so far. It's been a brutal fight. Scipio has ordered his men to leave no one alive, and the Carthaginians are putting up fierce resistance. But desperate civilians are no match for heavily armed and experienced Roman soldiers. Scipio looks up as screams echo across the rooftop. With a nod of satisfaction, he raises his sword and orders his men on, because they have a city to conquer. By the time this battle is over, Carthage will be reduced to ashes and dust. The fall of the city will result in the deaths of tens of thousands of people, and those who survive will be sold into slavery. But with no one left to sign an official surrender, the war between Rome and Carthage will technically continue for hundreds of years until it's finally officially brought to an end with the signing of a symbolic peace treaty on February 5th, 1985. I've discovered that I get a lot of good ideas from my live show right as I'm falling asleep. Tucked in bed, lights out, warm and snug, that's when my brain decides to solve a problem or come up with something new. But have I been getting out of bed to jot these ideas down? No, I have not, and I know I've lost some good ones. So I've put a little pen and paper in the bathroom. This way, I can creep out of bed without turning on a light or reaching for my phone, because the only thing worse than losing an idea is waking up my wife. Well, there may be something worse. Waiting to buy your tickets to the show in Dallas and realizing they're sold out. We've not sold out yet, but they are going fast. So buy yours today, or to be the first to know when we announce new dates, go to HistoryDailyLive.com to register for details. That's HistoryDailyLive.com. History Daily is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. So visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
From Noiser and Airship, I'm Lindsey Graham, and this is History Daily. History is made every day. On this podcast, every day, we tell the true stories of the people and events that shaped our world. Today is February 5th, 1985, the official end of the Third Punic War. It's 157 BCE in Rome, 11 years before the sack of Carthage. Amid the soaring columns of the Senate, 77-year-old Marcus Cato raises his arms and pleads for silence as applause flows around the chamber. He's in the middle of a speech on his favorite subject, the threat to Rome represented by its decadent and immoral enemy, the city of Carthage. Separated by 300 miles of sea, Rome and Carthage have long tussled for dominance over the Mediterranean. A century ago, as Rome's influence and power spread further south, the two cities went to war over control of the island of Sicily. This first Punic War was a long and bloody conflict that ended in defeat for the Carthaginians. Sicily was annexed by the Romans, and Carthage was forced to pay reparations to Rome. But the proud city of Carthage refused to live under what it saw as Roman oppression, and a generation later, a second conflict broke out. The great Carthaginian leader Hannibal amassed a giant army and invaded Italy in a surprise attack from the north. The two powers fought each other for 17 years. Hannibal and his army came close to victory, but a Roman invasion of North Africa eventually forced Hannibal and his men to hurry back across the seas to defend their homeland. But a catastrophic defeat forced Hannibal to sue for peace. The negotiations were one-sided. Carthage was stripped of its empire and once again forced to pay heavy reparations to Rome. It was also forbidden from building a powerful navy or waging war outside of Africa. So Carthage's days as a regional superpower seemed to be over. Rome was the undisputed master of the Mediterranean, but now, almost 50 years after Hannibal's defeat, Carthage is rising once again. The city is enjoying an economic boom, and for the Roman senator Cato, this is unacceptable. As a young man, he fought in the Second Punic War and has never been able to forget it, so he believes something must be done about Carthage before it's too late. As his colleagues in the Senate look on, Cato pulls a fresh, juicy fig from the folds of his toga. He holds it aloft and declares that this fruit has come from Carthage. It was plucked from a tree in the city just 3 days ago. The message is clear. Rome's old enemy is thriving, and it is not as far away as many people think. Cato finishes his speech with the same Latin phrase he uses every time he speaks in the Senate. Carthago delenda est. Carthage must be destroyed. Cato wants war, and eventually, after a long campaign, he gets his wish. In 149 BCE, a land dispute between Carthage and a Roman ally in North Africa provides the Senate with the excuse it needs. Rome amasses an army of 80,000 men and marches on Carthage. Outside the gates of the city, the Roman forces are met by a Carthaginian delegation. Led by a man named Banno, they try to negotiate. They make it clear that they have no desire for war with Rome. They are willing to settle the land dispute with their neighbor and even offer to give the Romans 300 young Carthaginians as slaves. This peace offering is accepted, and Banno hopes he has avoided war. But as soon as the new slaves have been taken away, the Roman general demands more. He insists that Carthage relinquish all its weapons, or the Romans will have no choice but to attack. Reluctantly, Banno again does as he's told. He hands over armor and weaponry that could equip 20,000 soldiers. But still, the Roman general is not satisfied and makes another, final demand. He tells Banno that all Carthaginians must leave their homes immediately. The city is to be destroyed. Banno realizes that the negotiations have been a sham. There was never any chance of peace. He still tries his best to save his people, but his words and pleas fall on deaf ears. The Romans are resolute. The people of Carthage must leave or face annihilation. But this is one demand too far. The Carthaginians refuse to abandon their home, and instead, they shut the gates on the Roman invaders and put their faith in the one weapon they have left, the city's mighty walls. For the next 2 years, those walls will protect them, and a series of Roman generals will try and fail to take the city. But when a battle-smart, cunning young man is placed in charge of the Roman army, Carthage's resistance will come to a bloody end. History Daily is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. So visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's 147 BCE outside Carthage on the coast of North Africa, 2 years after the outbreak of the Third Punic War. From the Roman encampment, Scipio Aemilianus looks across the sun-scorched earth at the high fortifications surrounding the city. Despite several direct assaults, the walls of Carthage have held firm. The Romans have thrown thousands of men at the city, but they're no closer to defeating it than they were 2 years ago. By land, the Romans have Carthage surrounded. No food or reinforcements can reach the besieged city that way. But as of yet, the invaders have not been able to stop supplies coming in by sea. As long as that lifeline remains open, Carthage can hold out almost indefinitely. But Scipio has had an idea, and now he summoned his senior commanders to give them new orders. Scipio has been in North Africa since the beginning of Rome's campaign against Carthage. Back then, he was just a military tribune, a senior officer, but not the man responsible for overall strategy. Instead, a series of other commanders led the Roman invasion forces as they tried to breach the city walls. And although the Romans had seized most of their enemy's weapons, the Carthaginians adapted quickly. Led by their general Hasdrubal, every available building in the city was turned into a workshop to make shields, spears, and missiles. Women cut off their long hair to make rope and string for weapons. Even children were trained to fight alongside their elders. With high walls and deep ditches protecting one side of the city and the sea protecting the other, the Carthaginians were able to throw the Romans back time and time again. But despite these setbacks, one Roman officer managed to distinguish himself in the fighting. Scipio Aemilianus, and thanks to his performance in battle and the lobbying of his powerful family back home, he was eventually put in charge of the entire invasion force. Decades earlier, his adoptive grandfather had won the decisive battle of the Second Punic War, so now all of Rome hopes Scipio the Younger will go on to even greater heights and destroy Carthage once and for all. But Scipio is more than just a famous name. He has a brilliant tactical mind, and he believes he knows how they can finally break Carthage's stubborn resistance. Meeting with his senior lieutenants, he tells them that they are to build a mole, a solid wall-like structure that will extend out into the Carthaginian harbor and effectively cut off their enemy from its one remaining supply line. This immense structure takes weeks to construct, but when it's finally complete, the Carthaginians are trapped. They make a final attempt to break out by sea, but when that fails, they have no choice but to hunker down behind their walls and wait for the inevitable. The Carthaginians begin to starve. By the spring of 146 BCE, the defenders of the city are so weak that their general Hasdrubal can do nothing to stop the Romans breaching the walls. Then, after 6 more days of bloody fighting, General Hasdrubal, his family, and a few hundred other Carthaginians have retreated to a temple in the heart of the city, but they are surrounded. Rather than fight one final pointless battle, Hasdrubal decides to beg the Romans for mercy. He slips out of the temple and falls to his knees at Scipio's feet. But to the other surviving Carthaginians, this is an act of cowardice. Even Hasdrubal's own wife is ashamed of him. She refuses to follow her husband and surrender. Instead, she sets the temple on fire. Then, as the blaze consumes the building around her, she slits the throats of her children and walks into the flames. There is no more resistance, and Scipio is at last triumphant. So with his enemy utterly defeated, Scipio orders the complete destruction of Carthage. Its temples are pulled down, its homes and palaces are set alight. But as he watches the once mighty city be consumed by flames, Scipio begins to weep. When he's asked why, he replies that he fears that one day, Rome will suffer a similar fate. Rome will fall one day, but not in Scipio's lifetime. Instead, it will dominate the Mediterranean for another 5 centuries. But Rome will never make a formal peace with the few remaining people of Carthage until more than 1,000 years later, when 2 modern-day politicians will decide to reimagine the relationship between the 2 former rivals and finally end the war between Carthage and Rome. History Daily is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. So visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's February 5th, 1985, near the ruins of ancient Carthage in Tunisia, more than 2,000 years after the fall of the city. In a modern government building, the 60-year-old mayor of Rome, Ugo Vettere, rises from his seat and steps toward the smiling figure of Shedley Klibbi, the mayor of Carthage. The two men smile and shake hands, then sit down at a long table where they will sign a peace treaty and finally declare an end to the war between Rome and Carthage. 2 decades ago, historians discovered that no official end to the conflict was ever documented. Seeing an opportunity to promote cooperation between Italy and Tunisia, Mayor Vettere and his counterpart Mayor Klibbi have decided to sign a symbolic peace treaty, officially ending the Third Punic War. Over 150 dignitaries have been invited to witness the ceremony, as well as members of the press. But such is the crush that a glass of water on the table is knocked over by a photographer. Two mayors are quick to save the treaty, but they can't stop the water from flooding onto Mayor Vettere's seat. It's not how either of them imagined the ceremony would begin, but it gives the quick-thinking mayor of Carthage the opportunity to underline the new friendship between these 2 historic enemies. He immediately stands and offers his own dry seat to the mayor of Rome. The 2 men then take turns signing the treaty. Mayor Vettere likens Rome and Carthage to the modern superpowers and calls for peace and reconciliation instead of destructive wars, while Mayor Klibbi describes the treaty as a lesson in humility and wisdom. As the ink dries, the men shake hands once again and applause rings out. Finally, after more than 2,000 years, the Third Punic War is over, officially. In truth, the animosity between the 2 cities ended long ago. After its destruction by the Romans, Carthage eventually rose again, rebuilt by Julius Caesar in the 1st century BCE. It became a prosperous regional center in the wider Roman Empire, but the scars of its bitter defeat could never be entirely wiped away. The fire-blackened ruins of ancient Carthage could still be seen centuries later, even when the mayor of Rome came to the city to finally sign a peace accord on February 5, 1985. Next on History Daily, February 6, 1958, an airplane crashes in Munich, Germany, killing 23 people, including 8 members of Manchester United's championship-winning soccer team. From Noiser and Airship, this is History Daily, hosted, edited, and executive produced by me, Lindsey Graham. Audio editing by Mohammed Shazi. Sound design by Molly Bach. Music by Thrum. This episode is written and researched by Owen Paul Nichols, edited by William Simpson, managing producer Emily Burke, executive producers are William Simpson for Airship and Pascal Hughes for Noiser.
Sp-
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.